Okay, yesterday's daf was daf mem ches. Today's mem tes. We'll do a review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be as close for the Yid and Eretz Yisrael. They should be protected. Hashem should protect them, as He has done, continue to protect them. And also Lili Nishmas Yitzchak Heschel ben Avram Gedalia, Sar Bas Menachem Bas Ami Bas Shlomo Zalman Yirmiyo, and for Shlema to Hadas Bas Ranya, Miriam Bas Etil Ziso, Yitzchak Ben Yal Zahava, Chai Rochel Bas Dvora, and Tito Ben Chasha, and Yisrael Yoshua Ben Mina, and Chava Bas Dal Yehinda, and Shoshana Golda Bracha Bas Yal Rina, amongst all else who need her for. Okay. So what did we learn yesterday? Honestly, I'm not 100% sure.
Wow, come on.
Telling you, it's not an easy one. All right, we'll try our best to get a review in. Hopefully, it'll be a little bit clearer today. And that's all you could ask for. It's just a little more clarity. All right. So we're going back. Yesterday's daf is starting from... where should I begin? What? Yeah, right, from the Mishapara, right. So starting at the Tanan, it's four lines up, that we said that in the Mishnah that there's a Mishapara, meaning a curse for somebody who backs out on the purchase. He punishes those who are not Omid Bidiburo. Now, the question is, why is there such a terrible curse? So if you say, remember, we saw the machlokas over here, whether Dvar Torah Maos Konos, does money actually acquire Minat Torah, and it's the rabbis who suspended it from working, or is it not effective whatsoever, and the only thing that really works for Kinyanim, at least between Jew and his fellow Jew, is Mashicha, is when you take possession of the item. Again, machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishlokas. So, if you say that it's really Maos Konos Minat Torah, so then it makes sense that there would be this special curse, because really the Torah provides that this should be already acquired by the time he gave you the money. For you to back out is like sort of taking advantage, and therefore that's a very bad thing, and it makes sense that there would be that curse on it. But if Maos is not Kona, like Reish Lakish says, so why would there be this special curse? I mean, the guy didn't really... do anything towards the transaction. The transaction only happens when he does Mashiach, and that did not happen yet. So what are you going to say because of the words? Words alone do not create a level of Mishapara, just backing out on your words. How so? How do we know? Because the Brisa says, the Rav Shimon says, that even though we say that a talis acquires the dinar or zahav, and not the dinar or zahav acquiring the talis, meaning the talis is the thing being purchased, the dinar zov is the money, and when you take possession of the talis, the money is now owed to the other party, but not the other way around. When you give him the money, it doesn't make the talis yours. Nevertheless, that's the halacha, but for somebody who paid for the talis with the dinar zov, and you back out, there's a mishapara, me'anshidar marble, Anchidar Floga, this price actually stretches it. It's not only Dar Floga, it's the Dar Stoim Vamayra, Mitzrayim, Bayam. All the bad people, they don't keep the words. I mean, at least by Mitzrayim, we know that Pari had already said, okay, I'll let you go, and then he changed his mind, so it's, they're guilty of these types of things. Somebody who doesn't stick to his words. That's one level. But if it's somebody made a transaction solely on words, meaning they made an oral commitment, an oral agreement, that's not a kinyan. And if you retract, all we have is in ruach chacham lechamena, which is clearly a significantly lighter of a severity. The rabbis are not happy with you. That's all it is. You're not giving them nachas. Okay, so they don't get nachas from me. It's not like the same level of being cursed, okay? And Rabbi says that our level that we have today is the max is out at Ein Ruach Chacham Lechamenu. We don't even have the Mishapara level, supposedly. Okay, whatever Rabbi means by that. Okay. So my answer is that there's two levels, even in words, there's two levels. There's the level of where there's an oral commitment and he did something in direction of the transaction and gave the money, even though that doesn't really acquire it to you. But you did something, okay? And for it to back out then is extra nasty. As opposed to, but if there's no money that transacted, so then that's not the same level as the curse. Next thing we brought down, Rava says that in fact, the sheet of Rish Lakish is supported by the text as well as by Braisa. This is an interesting pasuk. The pasuk talks about the Asham Gzela, really. Basically that is a case where the guy was claimed, I gave you my deposit, you're holding, and the guy denied it, I don't have it at all. And then afterwards he admitted that he did have it. But it talks about three, in the pasuk, in the beginning, it talks about a pikadon, tesumis yad, which is loan, and gazal, which is theft, and ashar gazamisa, which is withholding of wages. Four scenarios. And we said that in some of these scenarios, there has to be something tangible there. A loan, as we know, when I lend money to you, the expectation is that you don't have the money handy. You used up the money. So there has to be something that you should be having, and you're denying even the keli. That's really what we're talking about, the vessel that for the loan, okay? So anyway, bottom line is, and also the same is true with withholding of the wages. There's a keli for that was withheld as well. Now, when the pasuk reiterated it at the end, it says the guy sinned and he was guilty, and he must return the gzela that he stole, or the oishek that he was oishek, ashak, which is the withholding of wages, or the pikadon that was hafkarito. And noticeably absent is the tesumis yad, the loan. Now, why did they take the loan out of the picture? Obviously, because there was never a Mashiach. This teaches us that the only way the Kenyan really makes a Kenyan is al yidei Mashiach. So Rapapa said to Rava, how do you know? Maybe the pasuk is going for Oishek. And so the Gemara says, the case is that he took it and he actually gave it back. He actually did do a transfer. He took it. Because Oishek really is also the same thing. It's just a withholding of wages. So like, it's not like there was anything that was actually transacted. So he says, no, he picked up the kli and gave it back to him as a pikadon. So the same is true over here. He picked up the, so isn't that exactly the same thing as pikadon? He says, like, no, there's a pikadon with the loan, without the loan. Same thing you could say with the wages, without the wages. And as soon as you could say the same thing. But nevertheless, the fact, if the pasuk would have repeated it, so then there would be no question, there'd be no proof. But now that the pasuk noticeably left his sumas yad out of it, there seems to be a bit of a proof in the direction that Meshicha is konda and not money. Okay. So that was the pasuk. The parisa also supports so the Gemara asks, wait a second, but sumas yad is repeated because the parisa brings down Rav Shimon. That there was a catchphrase at the end that says, when we call Asher Yishava, love l'sheker. All false things. And Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabbi Barbu, in the name of Rav, that's including the Tesumas Yad, the loan case for Yishava. So the Gemara says, you're right, but it left it out. It didn't say it explicitly to convey this idea. So that's one. What's the Braisa? The Braisa is, it's talking about a case of Hegdash. So a guy has Hegdash money. He gives the money to the bath attendant. So normally when you're mold the Hegdash is when you get the benefit from the Hegdash funds. So over here, when you're giving the money to the bath attendant, you're mold immediately because there is no there's no action really. Once that happens, you have a right to enter and that's it, done. So it's all it is a right of access. That's only by the bath attendant, but any other thing that has to have a Mashicha, so then the only point in time when you're Molvek, this is when the Mashicha happens, when he actually took possession of the item. So the Gemara says, what about the barber case? It says the case of a barber where there is a Mashicha, because you have to have, think there's a scissors that's being used, there's an action here. So there's something being taken. But that's maybe by a barber that's a Gentile, so the transaction happens actually with the money, when you pay. So you don't need Mashiach. And the proof to that is that this the opposite halacha by the barber and by a guy, by a captain of a ship. Anytime there's something of any professional, the me'ila is only once there is a meshicha. So otherwise, so that's contradictory unless you say there's a Gentile barber where the transaction happens as soon as you give the money, and that's when you're mold by Akdash. Or there's a Jewish one where the transaction is when he takes the scissor, that's when you're mold by Akdash. Okay. Anyway, so again, that supports Reish Lakish. That being said, even though Reish Lakish has a pasuk on his side and has a mishnah on his side, Rav Nachman Paskins, also like Rabbi Yochanan, that Vartormos Konos, Levi looked around for prices that support that side as well, and he found one, because it says that if you give money to the wholesaler, right, to the wholesaler, and basically what they used to do is give basically a down payment for part of the fruit that they agreed to buy off the wholesaler. There's an elif that was Hegdish funds immediately. And now the question is that why would that be Mi'ila unless you say Mos Konos? So the Gemara says, is that a Kash on Reish Lakish? The Gemara says, no, Reish Lakish will tell you that's going like Reb Shimon, because he already acknowledges that Reb Shimon disagrees with his opinion. Anyway, that was the end of that section. Comes along, the Gemara talks about the Mishapara. So what is the story with this Mishapara? So Abai says that we don't actually issue the curse. All we do is inform him that there exists a curse that you're entitled to, or that you deserve, for backing out on your purchase. And you just let him know about that. Not that we actually do the curse. According to Rabbi, they actually do the curse. Seems that that's the halacha. Bai says we only have moidia because it says v'nasib amchalosor, we try not to curse. Rabbi says that's only somebody who actually is behaving like a member of the nation of Klal Yisrael, that's appropriate. He's acting inappropriately. There's a pasuk in the Torah. What is the way of a Jew? It's a pasuk in Tzfanya, She'iris Yisrael, Yasu Avlov, Le'idabru Chazav. They're not deceitful. So, bottom line is that's not the Oysam Aysamcha. Okay. Rava says he has a raya that they actually do issue the curse. Why? Because the story goes with Rabbi Chiya Yosef. They gave him money for salt, and the salt value went up. And it came to Rabbi Yochanan. He came to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, you got to give him the deal. A deal's a deal, and otherwise you're going to get a mishapara. So, and if you say he's just being meidia, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef needs to be meidia, it must be that they're actually going to give a curse. Oh, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef would be willing to take on a curse? That doesn't make sense either. Must be more to the story. The story goes, and this is interesting because it's going to continue on in today's daf, but Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef took a portion of the payment. And the question that he was saying is that maybe I only have to give them to that amount, but anything over and above that amount, I'm not obligated to give. Meaning that was, whatever he paid for, yeah, of course I'm going to give him that amount of salt. But there's a whole section that he didn't pay for. It was just an agreed upon amount that will, that it will sell, continue to sell it at that price. But the price changed, and I don't want to do that. And Rabbi Yochanan told him, no, you have to do all of it. The deal's the deal, and even though you only paid partially. Now, once we got into this idea of what's the status of like a down payment, so it's machlokes actually between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says by this Ravon that it requires only to the extent of it. That's where it is. However much money that is, that's how much is purchased, and that's what's done. And, the rest is just what we would call dibor ba'alma, just words, okay? And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's the purchase, it's a down payment on all of it. And it's all fully acquired, just he didn't pay for all of it. You understand? It's important, a very big distinction. So he tried bringing a proof. It says somebody gives an eravon to his friend, and he tells him, if I retract, then I forfeit what I gave you. And the other guy says, and if I retract from selling it to you, then I'll double what you gave me and give you back that for retracting. So in other words, there's a two-way street, basically. If either side backs out of the sale, whether it's the buyer or the seller, there's the risk of that, those funds, equal amount of that for those funds that they're each putting on the line, basically, to go through with the sale. That's Shitas Rav Yosi. That's a valid transaction. Rabbi Yossi, he says that even though the people only put up the money as an asmachta, meaning they were obviously only thought that they agreed, they're only agreeing to give up this money, nobody wants to really give up money, it's because they thought for sure they're going to go through with the purchase. Now that they're not going through with the purchase, that's a deal. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's a different idea. He says that it purchases to the extent of how much the Eruvim is. Basically, in other words, the purchase does go through, but only to that amount that they laid out. And that's it. So Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that's only true when he used the word yikon, ervon yikon. But if he sold him a house or a field for $1,000 and he paid only $500 out of $1,000, the kinyan is kinyan and he has to give back the rest. Even after a number of years. So, isn't that the same thing? That's not just land, it's also metaltos. Of course, that's not really true. There's a big difference between land and portable things. When it comes to land, where Kenyan Kesef is actually a real Kenyan, so that's a different story. That's where it's a Kenyan. But the whole thing of metaltos, money doesn't create a Kenyan. All it creates is a Mishapara. So for a Mishapara, it doesn't have a Kenyan to that extensive. And that is... that is as far as we got to yesterday. I will take it from here to today's talk. Okay.